Today on Real Radio.
27% of your Bible is dedicated to eschatology, or future events. Here's the Bible, and here's about 27%. One quarter of your Bible is dedicated to the future doctrine of things that are to come.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his topical series called You Need to Know, a collection of lessons on the essentials of our faith. We're in a mini-series called You Need to Know All About the Future Things. Bible scholars sum up this area in one word, eschatology. And as we'll hear Pastor Jack point out, more than a quarter of God's written word deals with eschatology, that which has yet to take place. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now. It's a lesson called You Need to Know All About the Future Things.
Turn, if you would, to John's Gospel, chapter 18. John 18, verse 36 is where we'll launch from there. And if you are visiting for the first time, we are a church that's known to go chapter by chapter, verse by verse, book by book through the Bible. But a couple months ago, we broke away from that, and we will get getting back to it. But right now, we're going through a doctrinal teaching because we stopped to address the issues doctrinally of what Christianity requires. These are the things that Christianity would require of the Christian to believe. What does it mean to be a Christian? It matters in what you believe. So, church, I'm going to ask you today to take some notes. In the top of your notes, you can write this down, part one, all about future things. That is the title for the next several weeks. And the question is this: can we trust what the Bible says about future things? Can we trust what the Bible says? And the Bible is arguably the most incredible book known to man. I know that's a big statement, but listen carefully. It's the best-selling, most quoted, first mass published, most circulated, most translated, most influential book in history, in the history of man, and there's not even a close second. I might say, adding this, it turns out to be the most smuggled book in the world. Did you know that? The Bible is the most smuggled book in the world into communist nations or nations where the Bible is illegal. Isn't that interesting? In many countries in the world today, the Bible is illegal. Yes, there are communist nations, but some of them of certain religious persuasions that are so threatened by the Bible that they cannot even allow it to be on their soil. Why? Because the Bible tells you that God loves you. The Bible tells you that God has a plan for your life. The Bible tells you that Jesus is king. The Bible tells you that he's in control. And any dictatorship doesn't like to hear or have its populace understand such powerful words. I'm going to ask you right now, just for fun, I need the encouragement. Will you hold up your Bible right now? Even if it's on a smart device, hold it up. That is an awesome sight. I hope by the time you walk out of this building today, you'll have a greater appreciation for your Bibles. And here's the reason why. Your Bible that you're holding in your hand is a proven source. Number one, it's a single source origin. Write this down if you're a skeptic today. It's a single source origin. That's a fun statement to make because the Bible that you have, 66 books penned by 40 different authors, spanning a time frame from beginning to end of authorship of over 1,500 years, and yet linguistically, mathematically, archaeologically, it has and can be proven that it has a single source authorship. I'll explain more of that in a moment. Number two, it is multicultural, the Bible, meaning that some of its authors have come from various and sometimes opposing cultures. Number three, your Bible is multi-continent. That is, the authors who wrote, who were, as we'll hear in a moment, influenced, possessed by the Holy Spirit in writing it, humans, but possessed by God, were on different continents in some cases. Number four, it's a multi-era communique, meaning that it spans that 1,000 over 500-year period of time, nearly two millennia. Think of that. You say, well, so what? Well, two millennia, and all of the authors agree, and some of them never met one another. That's pretty bizarre. Number five, that it is not of this world physically. That is, its information that it gives, if you believe it or not, is irrelevant. The information it gives is not of this world. It displays information that at the time that it was given, no man knew of such science or such knowledge. Number six, and this is sweet. As technical as it is and as sweeping as it is, its message is that it invites everyone to know what it says. I think that's significant. But I find it a little bit funny seeing how you and I live in an age that is obsessed with things like UFOs and aliens. Our movies are packed with alien encounters. We've got these movies about the beyond, the sixth sense, ghost stories, all this kind of stuff. We are obsessed with this stuff. We pack out theaters over things that are mysterious. Well, I can't think of anything more mysterious than the Bible. And if you want to talk information or manifestations that come from some other world, well, I'd like to introduce you to God. He comes from another world. He transcends this universe that we're in. When we talk about the doctrine of future things, we're talking about the fact that the eternal God has invaded this world. And thus, John chapter 8, verse 36, Jesus spoke and said, "My kingdom is not of this world." It's not of this world. And had he, listen, Jesus coming into this world, the fact is that when he did come, his announcement was he'd come from heaven. Think of that. And so our world is romantically in love with the strange and the mysterious and the unexplainable and the other world, and yet God shows up and says, "That's right, here I am," and the world predominantly refuses him. I find that a profound hypocrisy. That's a bizarre thing. Well, the truth of the matter is that the Bible makes it clear that we are struggling against two worlds, death and life, black and white, as it were, light and darkness. The Bible says there's a heaven and there's a hell. And the doctrine of future things, eschatology is the science of it, as in the Bible reveals it. Eschatos is the word, the end, or the future things in the end. And as you know, eschatology is the words of the last things. That's what the Bible means by that. So church, today we'll kind of dive into introduction of it, and we'll go as long as my throat will hold up. But point number one, mark it down if you would. Why is it important for us to know the future? I want you to write that down, because church, listen carefully. There are people, I'm guessing, I don't know anybody in particular, I'm just saying, and there are people in any gathering who, listen, say they're Christians. I'm not saying they're not Christians. They say they're Christians, though. But they will say things like this to me. I'm not kidding. I wish I was joking. They will say things to me like this: "Pastor, when you guys have a Bible prophecy conference, I'll be back. I'll start attending the church after your conference is over. But I don't want to hear that stuff. When you talk about future things in the Bible, I don't want to hear that stuff." I want you to know something. The Bible is so absolutely dedicated to you, the believer, knowing the future. And you're going to hear me like a broken record today. 27% of your Bible, imagine that, 27% of your Bible is dedicated to eschatology or future events. Here's the Bible, and here's about 27%. One quarter of your Bible is dedicated to the future doctrine of things that are to come. And we need to remember that. So why is it so important? Well, number one, the fact is that God wants every one of his kids to know about the future, and there's a reason for it. But the most obvious answer to all of us is this: It's where you're going to be spending your future. Where? In the future. You're not, listen, and this is this. One of the temptations you and I have is that we live in paradise. It even rained yesterday. Thank you, God. It rained in Southern California. But listen, for most of the world, they long for heaven. We kind of live in heaven. But this earth is not our home. We're going to heaven. And the fact of the matter is the future is ours through Jesus Christ. Your future is bright through Jesus Christ. And you need to remember that. To those who are dying in various parts of the world at the hands of their persecutors, the future is bright for them. Because we're Christians, God wants us to know the future. And so this is important. And you know it's true. Every November, December, we go through the checkout lines at our grocery stores or at various, bookstores, and they have the bookstores or the newspaper shelves lined with predictions of the future. You know, the Nostradamus, Gene Dixon type things. I don't know if there's any modern day prophets running around today telling us, what day Elvis will return on or what spotting will take place. But everybody's fascinated. They may sell a lot of money. Inquiring minds want to know. And so they want to get those publications and they want to read them to see what's going to be happening. You don't have to buy that junk. And by the way, somebody will say, didn't you know Nostradamus is 73% accurate? Did you know 73% accuracy according to the Bible would render him stoned to death? Isn't that funny? The world loves Nostradamus, but the guy was an absolute goofball. The Bible doesn't have the luxury of being 73 or 75% accurate. The Bible has to be 100% accurate. You say, well, that's a big claim. I know it's a big claim. It's easy to claim, though. And you're going to see the reason why. Eschatology, okay, this is my opinion. This is my opinion. You just came out of a study in the last few weeks of soteriology. That is a study of God's doctrine of salvation. And it's awesome. And frankly, between you and I, it's the most important one for us to know and to experience. That's what we're all excited about, to be saved, to be in heaven with God through Jesus. But eschatology is an actual science. You say, how can you say that? It's in the Bible. It's exactly correct. It's exactly right. Eschatology, God says, I've written these words down in advance and I've put them on print for you to read. Thereby you study them. And when the events begin to happen, I want you to open up your Bible and mark events through human history. And then you will know that I am not only God, but I live outside your world and I infuse my truth into your world. And when those things happen, I mean, how many times does he say this? And when those things happen, you will understand that I'm your God. Eschatology is a science because it can be proven. So much so, it is the only doctrine of the Bible that says, this is what God speaks, and if anyone contradicts or prophesies falsely, they are to be removed from you because I didn't send them. Wow. That's a big statement. And so, listen, when God began to speak to man, he did so often by proving himself, by foretelling the future. And the Bible is unique from all other books, both secular and religious, because it is the only book that can boast prophetic fulfillment. I want you to mark that down in your notes. It's the only book, religious or secular, in the world, the book you just held up a moment ago, that can boast prophetic fulfillment, Bible prophecy fulfillment. Number one, listen. It's not only the first book to reveal mankind's future given to man, but secondly, it's the only book to have stood the test of time and critic, your Bible. Other religions have taken what exists in the Bible by way of prophecies and have perverted them or just simply copied them. For example, the authors of the Quran perverted existing Bible prophecies that were already existing in the Old and New Testaments when the Quran was written. Perversion of biblical teaching. Fourthly, the Bible has been, is, and will perfectly continue to be accurate as time goes on. That's what the Bible says about itself. You say, Jack, these are big claims. I understand that. But we must lay this foundation before we go into the future. Because you don't want to go into the future on some slippery slope, do you? You don't want to go on some bridge going over some, you know, ocean or some bay. Can you imagine crossing the Golden Gate Bridge, but just before you cross the bridge, you blow right past a sign that says, warning, bridge may be unstable. And you just keep driving? Really? Not me. First time I crossed the Golden Gate Bridge, I was a kid. I was 9 years old. It was during a terrible storm. And, you know, it's a suspension bridge. You know what that means? It means that sucker moves when the wind is blowing. And I remember watching that bridge moving, and we're on it like this, and I started crying like a 9-year-old that I was. Scared me to death. But my dad kept driving because apparently there was no sign, I guess, of, you know, no problem. But keep that in mind. And so also, we need to mark this down. Why does it matter? You might say today, now I have to control myself right now, because there's a reason why I put this question in there. I wrote down in my notes, so why does this matter? Why do we need to talk about the future? Because that's a big deal today, and here's why I need to control myself. There are seminaries today graduating your kids from Bible seminary, and there are Bible colleges that have not only not taught Bible prophecy, 27% of the Bible, but they have mocked it and ridiculed it. So we are graduating future pastors and evangelists and church workers who do not believe in 1/4 of their Bible. And if I were to name some names today of very famous Christians that you probably know and love that are a thorn in my flesh because they say, Bible prophecy study and giving the time to study 27% of the Bible does nothing but cause confusion, scare people, and it should be avoided at all costs. And if I were to give you their names, you'd pass out for shock. And I want you to know that it is the only science in the Bible, it's the only doctrine in the Bible that God says that by it you can differentiate me from false gods. Isn't that interesting? God says, know it, because by knowing it, your confidence will be built up in me. You'll have faith and strength in what I've said. And then we have a whole modern age of liberal pulpiteers and seminaries saying you don't need to study it. I believe that is a last days demonic trick. And I'm being very subtle right now by saying that. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 42, verse 9, behold, the former things have come to pass. This is God speaking. And new things I declare. Watch this. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. This is the God of the Bible. Don't raise your hand, but are you a supporter of some cult or some group, some non-biblical group? Then you can't say that. The God of the Bible says, I tell you them before they happen. Isaiah 45, 21 says this, declare what is to be, present it. Let them take counsel together. Who foretold this long ago? Who declared it from the distant past? Notice God's asking a question. Do you hear him in a godly, holy way bragging? I do. He's boasting. He's challenging the false gods and the false religions of the world. He says, was it not I, the Lord? What a great statement. He's challenging us. He's demanding that we understand that God has a doctrine regarding the future. Isaiah 46, verse 9 and 10 says this, for I am God and there is no other. So we would pause and say, oh yeah, there's all kinds of gods. There's all kinds of gods, God. So which one are you? He says, I am God. There's none like me. What makes you different, God? Verse 10, he says, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things that are not yet done. You like that? I like that. And then John 14:29, Jesus speaking, he says, "Now I have told you before it comes to pass, that when it does come to pass, you may believe." Our God tells the future. You see, Jack, again, why does this matter? It matters so much this way when you witness to people. In fact, when you witness to people, or if anybody comes and witnesses to you, you know it's going to happen. You're going to get a knock on your door. Or you're going to bump into somebody, or someone's going to come talk to you, and they're going to ask you some questions. Listen, Christian, get this down. We as Christians may differ on timing of certain prophetic events. That's okay that we differ on timing. But we don't differ on them actually happening. And when someone from some other religious persuasion wants to convert you to their belief system, tell them you can't. It's very simple. You see, Jack, I don't know. I don't know all the arguments. I mean, I help me. Here's number one right here. You can say to them right now, "You know, I don't know everything about the Bible, but I can tell you this. 27% of it, God reveals the future. I believe in the God of the Bible who speaks about the future, and he sends no false prophets. And every religious group outside the Bible has proven over the course of their careers to be false prophets. The Jehovah's Witnesses, nice people, but when they knock on your door, did you know that they prophesied years ago and they still believe it? That Jesus Christ is literally returned in the second coming and he's waiting for the Jehovah's Witnesses to establish the kingdom on earth and then he will come out of his hiding place, which is located in Brooklyn, New York." I'm not making it up. Mormonism, sweet people. I love the Mormon people. But there's false prophecies in the Mormon church. Islam has false prophecies. On and on it goes. So the great thing about you and I as Christians is that we don't make up what we believe. We have submitted, we have acquiesced, we have come to the one who has revealed to us all truth, because he says, "I know what's coming." Nobody else can boast this, Christian. And you use that strength in your witnessing. The critics, listen, will protest, and they will say things like, "Isn't the Bible a book of myths and fables?" Of course they'll say this. What else are they going to say? You just answer them back. "No, it's not. I'm going to give you more information, but for now, no, it's not." Hang on. Number two, "Hasn't the Bible been tampered with throughout the ages?" Nope. Isn't that interesting? Nope. And you're going to see vividly by the end of this message exactly what I mean. Number three, here's a big one. People will ask, "Isn't the Quran or the Book of Mormon or the Tibetan Book of the Dead or other religious writings just as valid?" Answer, nope. Scientifically, I'm going to show you today, nope.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called "You Need to Know All About the Future Things." It's one in a multi-part series that focuses on eschatology, that which will take place according to God's written word. "You Need to Know All About the Future Things" is taken from Pastor Jack's collection of studies. It's called "You Need to Know." And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, if you're a regular listener to Real Radio, let Pastor Jack know. It's real easy. We'll tell you how in just a minute. Here's what one Real Radio listener recently wrote. "Pastor Jack, I just want to let you know how much I enjoy listening to Real Radio. I live in Maryland, just outside of Washington, D.C., and listen to you just about every day on WAVA 105.5. I love your passion for the Word and the way you preach it and teach it. Linda from Maryland." Thanks so much, Linda. Let Pastor Jack know if you're listening to and benefiting from Real Radio. It's real easy. Just visit reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.